After the word of God, the song will be going on solemnly. Why the candidates, because of our time, why the candidates will be here and will be singing, you know, as well as the baptism will be taking place. Amen. So I'm going to hand over the microphone to Pastor Jonathan.
Good afternoon. We're going to read from the scriptures. We're going to read from Matthew chapter 3, because we've come for baptisms. So we are going to read about the time when Jesus got baptized. And we read about it in Matthew chapter 3, from verse 7. Matthew chapter 3, from verse 7. Let's pray before we read. Lord, we thank you that your word is powerful. We thank you that your word is living. And Lord, we thank you that you work in us by your word. So this evening, as we listen to your word together, we pray that you would work in us. We pray that now you would speak into each one of our hearts. We pray that, Lord, we would not just have a lesson from your word, but we would know the power of our God in his spoken, in his words as they are spoken. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's read from Matthew chapter 3, from verse 7. But when he saw, as John the Baptist, when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, "Brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore bear fruits worthy of repentance, and do not think to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. And even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you. And are you coming to me?" But Jesus answered and said to him, "Permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he allowed him. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water. And behold, the heavens were opened to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Now let's read from the end of Matthew's Gospel. From Matthew chapter 29 and verse 18. Jesus came and spoke to them saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Amen. Amen. And finally, from Colossians chapter 2 and verse 12. "Buried with him in baptism, in which also you were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead." This is the word of the Lord. Now, we read in these scriptures about Jesus being baptized. We read then about his instruction to his disciples to baptize people who come to believe in Jesus. And then we read from Colossians about the meaning of baptism. What is happening? Why do I read to you all these different scriptures and not just one? Well, I wanted to read to you from Colossians because it tells us something very important. It tells us that baptism is not about us. You have come today to be baptized, some of you, and some of you have come to see people being baptized. Whenever we come to see people being baptized, we're not just here for the fun of it, but we are here taking part in this sacrament. We are here being reminded of our own baptisms, if we've been baptized, that the Lord is speaking to us to remind us what he has done for us. If you haven't been baptized yet, he's speaking to you, reminding you what Jesus has done and calling you to come to those waters of baptism. And of course, Some of you are here today to go through those waters yourselves. But in each case, God is speaking to us about Jesus and what Jesus has done. Because Colossians says we were buried with him in baptism, in which also we were raised with him. That baptism is all about what Jesus has done. We go down under the water and we come back up, just as Jesus went down into the grave and came back up into new life. And we go down into the grave with him, dying to our old lives and coming back up to walk in newness of life with him. That's what the Bible tells us. So, baptism isn't about us, most of all. It is about us because we get baptized. But the most important thing in the baptism is not what we do, but it's what Jesus has done. So that's why I've read to you about the example of Jesus being baptized. Because Jesus comes along to be baptized by John in the Jordan, and John says, no, you need to baptize me. I can't be baptizing you. And Jesus says, no, he says, permit it to be so to fulfill all righteousness. Now, that's a very strange thing to say. What does it mean? Who is righteous? God is righteous. Only God is perfectly righteous. And Jesus is God. So Jesus is perfectly righteous. So Jesus didn't need to be baptized to make himself righteous. He already was righteous. So how does Jesus' baptism fulfill all righteousness? It fulfills all righteousness, not for him, but for us. You see, Jesus came and he lived on this earth, and everything he did in his life on this earth, he did for us. That he lived for us. That he obeyed God's law for us. That he went through the waters of baptism for us. That he hung on the cross for us. That he rose from the grave for us. That he ascended to the Father's right hand for us. And one day he's coming back for us. That everything Jesus has done, he's done it for us. He didn't need to come for himself into this world. He didn't need for himself to take on our flesh to obey God's law. He didn't need for himself to go through the waters of baptism or to hang on the cross. But he did it for us, in our place. So Jesus came to be baptized for us. His baptism is the perfect baptism. His baptism is the real baptism. And when we come along to be baptized, it's not all about me and what I'm doing, but it's about me joining with Jesus in what he's already done for me. That I'm coming to the waters of baptism because I believe that Jesus has died on the cross for me and risen again for me. That I come to the waters of baptism believing that Jesus has fulfilled all righteousness for me. And so I join him in his baptism. John was baptizing people. And I started reading before we got to Jesus' baptism because some people came to him before Jesus that were a problem. A different type of problem. John thought he had a problem when Jesus came because he thought the wrong person was doing the baptizing. But he had a real problem when the Pharisees and the Sadducees came. What was the problem? Well, the first thing he said to them was, "You brood of vipers." Now, John was not a diplomatic pastor. He was not just trying to grow his church at any costs. That he spoke the truth to these people who came for false reasons. He said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" And when he says that, he's telling us something about what baptism's about. These people, they were coming to be baptized because they saw all the crowds coming to be baptized, and they wanted to do what everyone else was doing. But John says the real reason to be baptized is to flee from the wrath to come. His message that he preached, we read at the beginning of the chapter, was that repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So what was John doing? He was calling people to turn away from their sins and to look to God's salvation. So when the Pharisees and the Sadducees come, and they're not turning away from their sins, they're not looking to God's salvation, then he calls them hypocrites. Because they're not coming to flee from the wrath to come. We come to the Lord fleeing from the wrath of God that we deserved for our sins. We come to the Lord turning away from our sins and looking to Jesus who bore the wrath of God for us in our place. That's what we are doing when we come to be baptized. We don't come because we're a certain age. We don't come because we've been going to church for a while. We don't come because everyone else in the family has been baptized. We don't come because it's the right thing to do. We come because we have fled from the wrath to come. We come because we have fled from the wrath of God that we deserved for our sins, that we recognize that we are sinners who deserve God's punishment. We come because we recognize that were it not for Jesus dying in our place on the cross, that we would be suffering the wrath. But we come fleeing to Christ for refuge from God's wrath. We come fleeing to Christ as the only refuge for our souls. We come knowing that without him, we would have no hope. So we turn from our sins and we run to Jesus. And that's what baptism's all about. Baptism is for those who've turned from their sins and run to Jesus. And Jesus stands at these waters and he says, come and join me in my death as you go down under the waters. Come and join me in my resurrection as you come back up out of the waters. And then walk with me in newness of life. This is what Jesus is doing today. So, Brother Peter and I might be standing in the water, that I might be speaking Christ's words as people go down under the water and come back up again. But it's not really me who's speaking. It's not really me and Peter that are doing the baptizing. It's the Lord himself whose word is spoken. It's the Lord himself who joins you in those waters of baptism. He doesn't just stand beside you. He is united to you, and you are united to him, so that you can say, I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. Jesus is our great beloved Savior. Jesus is our great beloved heavenly bridegroom. And he stands in these waters. You see, baptism is a bit like a wedding. And the waters of baptism are a bit like I suppose they're a bit like a wedding ring, a strange sort of wedding ring. You don't wear it on your finger. Maybe it's like a wedding dress, because it's something that only happens, you only wear a wedding dress one time. You only go through the waters of baptism one time. But this is where Jesus stands. And he promises us that all that he has, he gives to us. All that he is, he shares with us. And he invites us to come and join him in this good relationship as his beloved bride, as a child of his father, knowing his love for all eternity. Jesus told the disciples when they go to baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we say those words when we pass through the waters of baptism, but it's not some sort of magic formula. What's happening is, Jesus is saying, declare the name of the new family over them. You know, one of the nice things that a pastor gets to do at the end of a wedding is he gets to be the first person to say Mr. and Mrs. So-and-so. So he's the first person who calls the bride by her new name. And in a baptism, the pastor gets to be the first person to call you by your new family name. Because we have the name of the family of God declared over us. The name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Not as some magic formula. Not as some liturgical rite. But because God himself is making that proclamation and saying, you are now my children. You are my well-beloved sons and daughters. That you can join me in my family in all my love. And as those words are spoken, we remember the words that were spoken over Jesus by his Father at his baptism. He said, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. And as we join Jesus in his baptism, those words are spoken over us. We don't say those words. We say, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But that's what those words mean, that we are now God's beloved children, with whom he is well pleased in Christ. Because we're not relying on what we've done. We're relying on what Jesus has done. So as you come to the waters today, come not thinking about the water and thinking about the pastor and thinking about everyone looking at you and what's going on, but come with your eyes fixed on Jesus. Come knowing that he's the one who's going down under the water and back up out with you Come knowing that you are being joined with him in the power of his death and resurrection. Now, if you're not being baptized today, keep your eyes on the same thing. Remember that if you've been baptized, that is what has happened to you. That is the powerful thing that God has done for you, that he has lifted you out of death in sin and joined you to his Son, that he has brought you through death and out into new life in Jesus. Now, if you're not being baptized today, and you haven't been baptized yet, well, come around those waters, and as you see people being baptized, know that that is Jesus' invitation to you, to trust that he is the one who has gone through the waters of God's judgment and come out safely on the other side for you, to carry you through, that he wants to welcome you into his love today, that he wants to welcome you into his family, that he calls you to turn away from your sin, to flee from the wrath to come, and to run to him and know his great love and his salvation. That's what's going on here this morning. It's not morning, is it? I can't go. We don't normally have church in the afternoon. We have it either in the morning or the evening. So I don't know how to say this afternoon from a pulpit. So this morning, I've done it again. This afternoon, let's keep our eyes on Jesus. This afternoon, let's not look at the outward realities. Those are important. It's very important that we go through these waters. We can't have a baptism without the water. Jesus told us to do this. It's very important. But let's look to what Jesus is doing at the same time. Let's look to the presence of Christ in our midst. Let's open our hearts to know the overflowing of his great love. Amen.
I want to say to the candidates, let's bow down our head first and pray that the word of God that we have heard shall find a fertile light in our, a fertile land in our heart to germinate, to develop, and to bring forth a good fruit in our life. The process that we are about to go through is the process of a new life. Tell God. The Bible says, all things have passed away. Behold, everything becomes new. As I'm about, or I am going through the process of a new living, Lord, possess my life. Process me to become, to make me to qualify for your kingdom. Everything that I need to make me to become a new living for you, supply me. The anointing to become a disciple of Jesus Christ indeed. Pour it upon me. Give me the grace to live a new life. Give me a grace to rededicate my life unto you. And let every eye see your glory in my life. Henceforth, anywhere I go, attach your angel to minister unto me. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Lord, we just want to thank you once again. Lord, we bless your name for this hour, even for the word that you have spoken unto us. I pray that this word will find a fertile line in our life in the name of Jesus. Lord, as we are about to go through the process of baptism, Lord, I pray that you open a new chapter to us in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray that the grace and the power to rededicate our life unto you, you will bestow upon us in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, because it is done. Every power, principality, Lord God, that might want to have a negative thinking about us, Lord, I pray that you subdue them in the name of Jesus. Amen. We will continue to declare your glory. Amen. Thank you, our everlasting God. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Without wasting our time, the list of the candidates is already with Pastor Jonathan. Do you want me to call the names now? Okay. Amen. Hey, there's Simon. Where is he? Pastor. Amen. I have Brother Kenny. Praise God. Brother Samuel wrote to me or more with me. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Brother Adekunle Oluwadarasimi Fakoya. Brother Emmanuel Ayobami. Say Ayobami. Ayobami. Oladujoye. Sister, can you Christian name me? Ah, Sister Ruth Oluwatoyin Omowumi. Praise God. Hallelujah. Sister, can you Christian name me? Amen. Margaret. Sister Margaret Oluwabumi Adeleye. And Sister, what's your Christian name? Sister Esther Olamide Oladunjoye. Amen. If you have heard your name, please rise up on your feet. Please. Can you rise up on your feet if you've heard your name? Amen. Okay. What's your Christian name? Agnes. Amen. Who's going to sing for us? Christiana, you're going to give us a song? According to the name mentioned, you're going to line up here Praise God.
I'll give you the phone. Let's daddy. Daddy wants to see. Yeah, you take daddy wash.
What do you want to do? Stop it now. Okay, let's go. You're going to go and sit in the car.
Yeah.
Let's go and sit in the car.
Ah.
Then you're going to jump in. I'm going to see you, mommy. Samuel, I said, wait here now. That is going to
Samuel. Samuel. You are number one.
I've decided. Ruth. Ruth. Ruth.